Hi, friends. Here we are on Heart Refined. This is the end of week 5, episode 20 of James for You. We're coming to our midway point of this study, and my goodness, it just seems to get better and better every week. So I hope today is a blessing. We've got some really beautiful things to speak about. Over the past couple of days, we've been talking about a stronger definition of what a faith-based work looks like. Now, a lot of times we talk about a works-based faith. Let's flip that around and live in this definition, this strong definition of what God showed us through James, through this inspired word of James, on how to live out our faith by works. I gave a strong definition in the last episode, episode 19, based on the first two chapters of James. They really helped me as I walked through these to see in the places where I can see the Lord working through me, not only in the places where I can say, yes, I've got that, but on the places where I can say, nope, I am not there. And I know, though, that the Lord, Jesus, who is my advocate, is working out these sins in me so that he can present me clean to the Father, pure before a pure and holy God. And that's something that I long to hear my God say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. And it's because he pours out the faith, he pours out the repentance, he pours out the salvation, he pours out the motivation, he pours out the ability, the capacity, all of the things. And my job is to say, okay, I'll take that from you, and I'll give these things to you and let you work them out of me. So I love it that this also, all these things, it sounds, you know, technically easy enough. I mean, it's very hard in application, but the context sounds easy enough. But God knew we needed examples, and so we can find that throughout his scripture. I've been using too many adjectives as we go along. There are so many super examples in the scripture of how we can live out, and we can be inspired by these people. Okay, first, in James, he talks about Abraham and Rahab. And I want to talk about them, and I'm sort of going to bounce back and forth between the two because I'm so fascinated by how God plays this out. So first of all, we have Abraham, and this is a strong picture of God's mighty work in and through a man. So first of all, we have him as a man. Now let's look. We have Rahab, who is a woman. Now, why is this included in here? Because if we know this, if we know the full context, that women throughout the time, the biblical age, they were not respected, their stories were not valued, and they were expendable. And so for it to be recorded, not only remembered in James, but it's remembered in Joshua 2 in the Old Testament, the story of Rahab. And then you have also again brought in Hebrews 11, where she is counted as righteous because of her faith. So what she did had to have had some weight behind it, because obviously God moved through her. He poured out the faith for her, and she chose to be obedient and work based on that faith. So we have a man and a woman. There's two of our differences right there. Abraham was rich. Rahab was poor. Abraham was Jewish. Rahab was a Gentile. Abraham was a patriarch. Now I'm going to hang out on that word for a second. I think in our culture, the word patriarch has become a bad word because that means a man. And in a culture that wants to promote women so heavily and in a way that is unbiblical, we have to realize that patriarch is not the bad word. Patriarch is actually something that is quite beautiful. This is the forefathers of our faith. These are the men who God, this Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, these are the patriarchs of the faith, and they're the ones who were given the promise on behalf of the children, the chosen ones of God. And so we need to look to them. And, you know, we're talking about a couple of days ago, the definition of hermeneutic, and this is the interpretation of scripture. I believe that our hermeneutic needs to be based on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is not based on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they're still men, but the God who worked through them And so we need to make sure that we define our hermeneutic through the patriarchs, the forefathers of our faith. So anyways, that was an important point to make. Abraham was the rich Jewish patriarch, meaning a man. Rahab was, of course, a woman, a poor Gentile prostitute. Boy, that's heavy, right? You think about God chose not only this man of God, this man, this patriarch who rises above the rest and who does these, what looks to be mighty works. And of course, we know that that's God working through him, but he also chooses Rahab the prostitute. And if you know much about that story, Rahab, she believed in God. And when the messengers came and the guards were looking for him, she lied to the guards. She hid the messengers. She lied to the guards and she told them that the messengers went another way. And God saw that as righteous. I mean, she was counted as righteous because she did what God asked her to do on behalf of his people. And so I think we recognize right there that God is not necessarily a respecter of persons. He chooses whomever he pleases for his pleasure, for his goodwill, for his perfect way. And it's such an amazing picture of what we don't have to be. Of course, we've talked about yesterday. Or spoken about yesterday, that we need to rise in moral excellence and keep oneself unstained by the world. Of course, we don't know much about what Rahab does after that, but I'm willing to believe that Rahab's life becomes set apart from that point where she sees the Lord give these messengers the blessing through her. You know, what is it that you've done in your life when God has provided an opportunity for you? Now let's look at Abraham real quick here. Abraham has this son, Isaac. God tells him, go up the mountain and give your son as a sacrifice to me. And so it says very quickly in Genesis 22, and you may hear I'm changing over to that scripture right now. In Genesis 22, like he says, take your son. And the next verse, so Abraham got up early in the morning. There was no like, so then Abraham, you know, sort of paced his house for 6 weeks. And he said, God, I'm going to wait for you to send a lightning bolt at 12 o'clock on a Friday, of which a dove comes out, lands on my shoulders and confirms that's what you want me to do. No, he heard the Lord say what it was he wanted him to do. And the next morning he got up and did it. I love that obedience there. That starts out as the tipping point there of the obedience. He just gets up immediately. You know, I say as a personal trainer, I say one of the hardest parts about running a marathon or showing up to workout is just putting your shoes on. And I feel like Abraham did. Of course, we know there would have been much harder parts if he was called on to sacrifice his son, but he did that. He did that first step. And so is the Lord calling you? I'm asking you, is the Lord calling you to a place of obedience where you've just got to take that first step? So we go on to see here, even as he's going up the mountain, Isaac, his son, says the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? He's asking his dad, hey, we forgot something. And Abraham says, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Then the two of them walked on together. You see Isaac obeying his earthly father. And then you see Abraham obeying his heavenly father. A lot of obedience happening all in throughout here. Of course, he gets up there. He's going. He's got Abraham on the altar. He's got his arm raised. And then the angel says, he calls out, says, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Do not lay a hand on the boy or anything, or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. So in other words, he said, you've proven that you would do it. Now, he goes on then, Abraham, to call this place. He named the place on the mountain, the Lord will provide. And what the Lord had done is provided another sacrifice. They had a ram there that they used. Now, this is where the name of God, Jehovah Jireh, comes from, the God who will provide. And you see, what God didn't have to do, God provided for Abraham an opportunity to prove his faith, but God didn't need to know because God's the one who poured out the faith already. It was Abraham who needed to know. how much faith God had put in him. And then we look at the book of James and we see right there that he persevered in his faith. He worked based on his faith. And he saw, God showed him that he was mature and complete, not lacking anything it took to do what is necessary to obey him. What is God asking you to do? I say again, where has God called you to obedience? Where has Jehovah Jireh stepped forward and said, hey, this is the thing I'm asking you to do. Trust me. I'm going to provide everything you need. I'm going to take care of everybody in your circle the way that I see fit, according to my will, according to my way. So are you willing to do things on my terms or not? Wow. Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides faith, repentance, salvation, forgiveness, and opportunity galore to work based on your faith. Oh, what a great week. Next week, we're going to be talking about that nasty old tongue. I'm telling y'all, this is one of the things that's the most important. I have been in years-long sanctification working on how to shut this yap up. You know, Exodus 14:14 says, the Lord your God will work for you. You must only shut your mouth. Or be quiet, or be calm, or be patient, or be still. God tells us several times to do that, and James is very clear in the word that he has written on how and why it is that we are to shut our mouths. Thanks for a great week here in week 5. Looking forward to week 6 of James for You here on A Heart Refined. Bye.